JC Corcoran Podcast.
We are in some kind of a war. I'm not exactly sure what we're doing, but we're in some kind of a war, and it's difficult because it is not easy to fight with people this stupid. This is the problem that we're having. In past wars, our enemies had half a brain. That helped. You think back on the Nazis now, they seem kind of cute. All dressed alike. We're going to be in this one specific area. If you want to fight with us, you know where we are. The only idea these mental defectives we're dealing with now have come up with is, why don't we blow ourselves up? Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's really good. You should do that. My favorite blow-up guy was sentenced him last week. Richard C. Reed. Remember him, the shoe bomber who had admitted in the trial that he acted alone. Apparently was unable to get other people to go in with him on the shoe bombing. None of you guys want to go? Because I'm going right now. What are you, 10 and a half, 11? So they caught him on the plane, as you probably remember. Nobody noticed this human boll weevil walking through an airport. Do you remember what this guy looked like? One eye over here, one eye over there. And stepping very gingerly, I would imagine. Now, one of the things it seems we do have on our side in this war is we seem to have a lot of films of the terrorists in the training camps. You see them on the news every night. I don't know where we got these films, but we got them. And one of the things it seems you can learn from watching the films is the tremendous emphasis the terrorists place on the monkey bars. As far as they're concerned, this war is going to be won or lost on the monkey bars. Have the monkey bars ever come up in battle, you think? When two opposing armies converge on a city, has it ever come down to who controls the playground? I think we should focus on the seesaw. Because we got so many fat kids in this country who could sit on one end, hold those skinny terrorists up in the air on the other end. Let me down, let me down. Let's see your shoe bomb work now. Thank you very much.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
13th of September 2021 here at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? Well, I think it's clearly apparent at this point that there is no God. It was proven last night on Sunday Night Football on NBC, because no God worth worshiping would have allowed Stan Kroenke to have his moment in the sun last night, as was the case. First of all, that stadium looks like something out of The Matrix or something. That's not a place you go to watch a football game. That's a place you go to see UFOs. You know, I'm sorry, I grew up in the 50s and 60s where football teams played at places that were practically falling down. Soldier Field in Chicago, that place in Cleveland, Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. A lot of baseball stadiums where, you know, they converted them for football and didn't even bother taking the mound down. And this thing that Kroenke put up there, it was like $1 billion or $2 billion or whatever. It's just the most, it's obscene is what it is. It's just absolutely obscene. Hey, look, I like a nice, shiny new football stadium as much as anybody else, but you do get the idea that it's Jerry Jones and Stan Kroenke waving their dicks at each other as to who's got the most futuristic-looking stadium. It's a joke. You think to yourself, and again, as I said, I'm all in favor of having bright, shiny, you know, state-of-the-art football stadium sports facilities, whatever the case may be. I'm totally in favor of that. But you can't help but wonder, as you're watching the game, How many good things could have been done with that amount of money? Cut the cost in half. Okay, let's just say it's $1 billion. All right, I think you could probably make a pretty nice football stadium for $500 million. And then you take the other $500 million. Maybe you do something nice in the community. Maybe you start a grant program. But no, we're dealing with Enos here. I think the point at which I just threw up my arms and said, that's it, I've had enough, was, I guess it was probably in the third quarter, they showed a booth where they have a live DJ. And this guy is like, you know, he's scratching albums and stuff. And you're like, all right, I think I've had enough. And then, of course, the Rams have to win. And you're like, this isn't indicative of the idea that we all like to subscribe to, and that is that bad guys get it in the end, and Kroenke hasn't gotten it in the end. Now, there is hope, though, because I still think he's going to get smacked in this St. Louis lawsuit, and he's going to be on the hook for who knows how much. I think they said we spent $20 million on putting together stadium plans and all the work that we did to try to convince Kroenke to stay and keep the team in the dome or build a new stadium, whatever the case may be. And all along, it was fraudulent because Kroenke had already made arrangements to move to Los Angeles, and so we wasted the money. It's like for guys, you're having trouble with your girlfriend, so you're spending a lot of money, and you take her on a nice trip. You get back, and you find out that she's been sleeping with your brother for like the last 6 months. That's what the whole thing felt like. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm 9/11'd out. You know what my feelings are about this whole thing. Can you imagine any other country doing this where every single year there is a sob fest? And I think I'm standing on pretty solid ground here when I say that if you're living on the other side of the world and you're one of these guys or one of these organizations or one of these countries that hates America and that you might have had some part in the 9/11 attacks, and it's 20 years later and you turn on satellite TV and you're watching what's going on in America, you're thinking to yourself, this is great. This is fantastic. It's 20 years later and they're still all standing around crying about this. You can't tell me that that is not emboldening our enemies. Can you imagine a country like Germany doing this? You say, well, JC, what about the Holocaust? That's in Germany, but that's not the Germans. It's the Jews, and they got a pretty solid case because they lost 6 million people in the whole thing. But, you know, you start looking at the numbers. I mean, just think about this, because you start talking about all the people we lose in the accumulation of all the wars and all the casualties. There were more COVID deaths just in the state of Florida in the last 2 weeks than U.S. military deaths in Afghanistan over the last 20 years. And why is it that 3,000 deaths on 9/11 can unify us, but 700,000 deaths in a pandemic where so little is asked of us, aside from, you know, wearing a mask and getting a vaccine, is a source of political polarization and hostility? You know, all these shots of the American flags and the coffins and just the horrific outcome of 9/11. While all that was going on, Halliburton made almost $40 billion in reconstruction. That's Dick Cheney right there. So when you start, you know, comparing all these numbers, you can end up at the very end of it, just stand there scratching your head going, what are we doing? So we've had 20 years of yearly mourning, and I would like to see this end now, maybe until 25 or 30, okay? Do another, you know, memorial of the whole thing. But this thing every year, it's just got to stop. It has to stop. It's not even logical anymore. You know, and these specials have been all over television, and I watched a little bit of stuff here and there, and it wasn't really anything that I didn't already know. There were a couple of new videos. I don't know where they came from, but I thought that was sort of interesting. But then you're like, oh, I'm going to watch a ball game. I don't want to watch this stuff anymore. I'm 9/11'd out. And you turn on the game, and every half inning, 9/11, never forget. Well, how am I going to forget when you're reminding me every 15 seconds? Speaking of baseball, though, on an up note, because I'm tired of talking about this, Cardinals are what, a game and a half out of the final wild card position? Answering the question, how much has the world changed in recent years? George Will. George Will has been an outstanding spokesperson for the conservative political movement for years and years and years. He's written multiple books, New York Times bestsellers, always on the panels when they are putting people together to comment about the state of affairs in the United States of America. He was a regular on George Stephanopoulos on Sunday morning and all of the talk shows. He'll drive you nuts because he is a very, very intelligent man and a very well-spoken man. He knows what he's talking about. I don't always agree. I rarely agreed with his positions, but he stated them very well. Although, when George Will talks, it sounds like he's coughing up a thesaurus. You ask him a yes or no question, and he talks for 20 minutes. And he used to be a very effective spokesperson for the conservative movement. Things have gotten so extreme in recent years. Now, just think about this. Think about this. He's on Bill Maher over the weekend, Friday night, and Bill Maher's audience, a decidedly liberal group, week in and week out, and George Will's talking Friday night, and the audience is cheering wildly for things that George Will is saying, because now he's really considered nowhere near conservative enough for the Trumpers to, you know, get on board with anything George Will ever said. George Will is now a moderate. And I know a lot of people would consider him not even a true conservative. Not anymore. The audience was cheering for George Will in a Bill Maher studio on Friday night. Man, oh man, you never could have convinced me of that. You know, when I stopped listening to George Will, when he said that the movie Field of Dreams is not a baseball movie. Well, George, what is it? A bowling movie? For God's sake, it's not a baseball movie. Okay, fine. The one constant ray is baseball, and they're playing baseball, and it's on a baseball field, and it's not a baseball movie. Okay, next. Madonna showing her 65-year-old ass on the MTV Music Awards. Last night, Foo Fighters were on, Doja Cat, Billie Eilish. I know that means absolutely nothing to many of you. How about Britney Spears? She's 39, the boyfriend is 27, and now her fiancé. Things are moving fast for this girl. I'm not sure she's all there, but somehow it'll probably mean more topless selfies. Shaquille O'Neal joined Tinder, all right? Shaq, the real Shaquille O'Neal, joined Tinder, but he quit because he struck out with a woman. He said, "It's me, Shaq," and she said Shaq would never do this. So he had to delete it, and then he deleted his account. Alanis Morissette says when she was 15 years old, she was repeatedly sexually abused, taken advantage of. Statutory rape is what we're talking about here. So she tried to tell people about it, but it primarily fell on deaf ears. Interesting, because I thought this was a sort of a uniquely American problem, where we're having this explosion of men taking advantage of underage women, but apparently, you know, she's from Canada, so it was going on up there too. Football, Aaron Rodgers, you know, the big off-season story was, oh, he might not come back. He wants to leave the Packers. Oh my God, what are we going to do? So he re-signs, and then yesterday ends up getting benched in the fourth quarter because the Packers were playing so poorly. By the way, tonight, ESPN, Las Vegas Raiders hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Here's something I'm really scratching my head over because I have absolutely no idea what they're thinking. The series premiere of something called Little Ellen on HBO Max. It's an animated show for preschoolers about the childhood life of a then 7-year-old Ellen DeGeneres. Well, kids have no idea who Ellen DeGeneres is, so it means nothing to them. All right, late night tonight, Patton Oswalt on with Jimmy Fallon, Jennifer Aniston on with Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert has Jeff Daniels, Drew Barrymore on with James Corden, Seth Meyers has Sarah Paulson, and Trevor Noah back after some time off. Ben Affleck, did you see that video? Some guy was trying to get a little too close to him and Jennifer Lopez in Venice over the weekend, and Ben Affleck, who I believe is 6'4", got in there and really throttled the guy and said, "Back off, back off, back off." Kate Beckinsale over the weekend. Now, this is a very handsome female. I don't need to tell you that. So TMZ over the weekend, Kate Beckinsale rushed to the hospital in serious condition. And you're like, what the hell happened? She had a back injury. That's all it was. Harvey can't control himself. You know that? Buffy the Vampire Slayer actor Nicholas Brendon is dealing with a condition that's causing paralysis in his genitals. Didn't even know there was something like that. All right, birthdays today. Zach Starkey, Ringo's son and drummer for The Who, 56. Tyler Perry, 52. Jeffrey Ross, Roastmaster General, 56. Jean Smart, remember Designing Women. She was Charlene, 70. Jacqueline Bisset, still looking awfully good, 77. Peter Cetera of Chicago, 77. David Clayton Thomas is 80. Beatles song Yesterday, released in America on this date in 1965. Since then, it's become the most recorded song in history. Scooby-Doo debuted on CBS on this date, 1969. Soap with Billy Crystal, at the time, TV's most famous gay character, debuted on ABC in 77. Pee-wee's Playhouse debuted on this date in 86. That was 35 years ago. And on this date, 28 years ago, Conan O'Brien replaced David Letterman on NBC's Late Night. That's the gig that Seth Meyers has now. If you had to pick, which age would you say was the most fun? 2,000 people were polled. The average answer, 24 years old. I guess that makes sense. You have a lot of energy. You're making some money for yourself. You can drink. You probably don't have a ton of obligations yet. 40% of people said the older you get, the harder it is to find time to get together with friends and socialize. And 75% of people said it's important to plan stuff ahead of time so you have something to look forward to. The realization this guy had is what's interesting. Some idiot thought it'd be fun to build a Tinder profile for his girlfriend just to see how many guys would think she was hot. And she matched with 1,300 other dudes in the first hour. He talked about it on Facebook because it made him appreciate her more. He told guys, quote, if you're feeling like you can do better than your girlfriend, create a Tinder profile and see how many other men would be stoked to be in your shoes, end quote. He joked that he was immediately going to draw her a bath, cook dinner, fold the laundry, and rub her feet. Then he posted an update after she got even more matches and said he is buying her a pony. Huh? The 31st annual IG Nobel Prize Awards just handed out. If you don't know about this, these are awards that are given to the most ridiculous advances in science and other academic fields each year. And here are the top 10. I think this was I think what inspired the beginning of this thing was back in the, 1960s, they tried to find out if there were any military possibilities for the Frisbee. And somebody blew, millions of dollars. And we're like, no, we don't think so, actually. Oh, well, thanks. All right, here are the top 10. Researchers who used genetic analysis to compare the different species of bacteria found on discarded chewing gum recovered from paved surfaces in various countries. Number 2, researchers who tested the hypothesis that humans evolved beards to protect themselves from punches to the face. Number 3, researchers who used chemical analysis to test whether bodily odors created by a movie theater audience could be used to track incidents of violence, sexuality, drug use, and profanity in movies. Number 4, a study that suggests the obesity of a country's politicians can be used to indicate the level of corruption in the country. Number 5, a study called A New Method of Cockroach Control on Submarines. Number 6, researchers who conducted experiments to find whether it is safer to airlift a rhinoceros upside down rather than right side up. To be clear, that's safer for the rhino, not the humans attempting to move it. Number 7, a researcher who analyzed the variations in cat vocalizations while communicating with humans. Those vocalizations include purring, chirping, chattering, trilling, tweeting, murmuring, meowing, moaning, squeaking, hissing, yowling, howling, and growling, end quote. Number 8, a study demonstrating that sexual orgasms are as effective as decongestant medicines at improving nasal breathing. I'll sign up for that. It's like the lady who told her friend, hey, I have an orgasm every time I sneeze. And your girlfriend says, wow, that's amazing. Are you taking anything for it? She goes, yeah, pepper. The everybody. Number 9, researchers who conducted experiments to learn why pedestrians do not constantly collide with other pedestrians. And number 10, a different team of researchers who looked into why pedestrians sometimes do collide with other pedestrians. A new report says today is the best day to book holiday flights if you want to get the best deal. And this week in general is a good time to buy tickets. If you're not ready to book yet, they say prices probably won't skyrocket until late October. But once we hit November, prices for flights around Thanksgiving spike 40%. And the same thing happens in the first few weeks before Christmas. Now, the good news is Thanksgiving flights are expected to be 11% cheaper than normal this year, but flights for Christmas will be 10% more expensive than they were in 2019. The cheapest day to fly for Thanksgiving is on Thanksgiving, but Monday of that week is also pretty cheap. And if you don't mind getting in last minute, flights on Christmas Eve tend to be cheaper than other days. But Tuesday the 21st is also good. The most expensive days to fly are the Sunday after Thanksgiving and December 26th, which also falls on a Sunday this year. A British man says he discovered a pig nipple in a bacon sandwich that he ordered at McDonald's, and he's so grossed out that he's going vegan. But McDonald's says there's no chance it's a pig nipple because they use back bacon cuts. A woman in Florida got arrested after she jumped in front of a she jumped in the front seat of a fire engine and tried to steal it. And when they asked if she was on anything, she claimed she'd been drinking the elixir of life, as in a magic potion that makes you immortal. She is now facing felony charges for grand theft fire engine. A new study finds that squirrels have personalities just like humans, including boldness, aggressiveness, activity level, and social ability. And there's now lobster butter, and it's expensive. $32 for a 6-ounce portion. So now you can make other things taste like lobster for slightly cheaper than the actual lobster itself. And the U.S. Women's Open over the weekend featured two teens for the first time since 1999, so we know what Matt Gaetz was watching. A woman is suing Cesar Millan after supposedly being attacked and injured by his pit bull, Junior. This supposedly happened in 2017, and she claims the dog had a violent history and even killed one of Queen Latifah's dogs. We had Cesar on the air a couple of years back. He's our celebrity JC interview of the day.
When good dogs go bad, there's one man who's their best friend. Cesar Millan.
No dog is too much for me to handle. I rehabilitate dogs. I train people. I am the dog whisperer.
Very, very, very impressive. Cesar Millan joins us now off the satellite. Cesar, welcome to St. Louis. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, you know, I'm basically a cat person, but I had a dog for 10 years who was unruly, to say the least. How much of dogs and what they do goes back to, I don't want to say prehistoric times, but goes way, way back to the very inception of when dogs were just wild, you know, seething animals running through the woods?
Well, the difference of domestic-type dogs versus wild-type dogs is domestic-type dogs, they don't hunt for food, but they still have to work for food. That's the only difference, you know. So that's why exercise discipline is so important, because that involves the challenge of the body and the mind before they get the food.
Are all dogs, when they're born, unruly and need to be trained, or there is such a thing as a dog that it just is a born, it's a puppy, and now it's a dog, and it just automatically listens to what you say?
Well, the reality is most of the dogs are born to be followers, and as few that are born to be leaders. And the training part is not so much for them as much for the human. You know, the human needs to be trained, because in third world countries, people don't train their dogs. They just train themselves to make the relationship happen. You know, they don't use leashes in many of the occasions. And so the training is sit down, stay calm, heel. That's something created by human. Rules, boundaries, limitations is something created by Mother Nature. They give rules, boundaries, limitations and their natural habitat. So they know by early age that they have to follow a pack leader. Their first pack leader in the puppies is their mother. And then the mother introduces to the rest of the pack members.
All right, so now I'm going to introduce you to a gentleman here who's on our show, John the Emanuelet. And John does not allow animals in his house. He's never
had
a dog.
He's got a fish.
He's got a fish. He's never had a dog, never had a cat, never had anything like that.
That's allergies?
I had dogs. No, I had dogs when I was a child. No, but see, we're very busy with our children, Cesar. And we take the attitude that if we can't give 100% to the dog, because we're giving 100% to our children right now, we'd rather not have the dog in the house right now because it's not going to get the care that it needs.
What sort of attitude is that?
That's a very responsible attitude, I would think.
That's a very responsible attitude, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this.
Because
we've had the debate here on the show about pit bulls in the past. And I wonder what Caesar's take is on pit bulls. And are they just mean dogs or are they bred that way, you know?
Well, you know, I use pit bulls to rehabilitate other people's dogs. You know, I use pit bulls who were in dog fighting, you know, at times. And I rehabilitate them into becoming a normal, balanced dog. So it's not the breed, it's the human behind the dog, because Petey from the Little Rascal was a pit bull. So if it was breed thing, all pit bulls will have that, you know, ability to kill.
But Caesar, except that when a pit bull goes nuts, as opposed to a collie or a poodle, when a pit bull does sort of snap, and they seem to have a propensity to do that, you can hit them over the head with a cinder block and they're not going to release their grip. That's what scares people about pit bulls.
Yeah, you're talking about power. Yeah, they're powerful, but aggression is a state of mind. It happens in Chihuahuas, it happens in Yorkshire Terriers, it happens in you're right. They're more powerful. This is why people need to be informed about how to keep a powerful breed calm submissive. You're supposed to keep any dog calm submissive or balanced, however you want to call it, but especially for the people who want to own powerful breeds, we have to do exercise, discipline, affection every single day.
All right, so if somebody watches you on the National Geographic Channel or watches the video that you were nice enough to send to us or reads the book, are you then able to take that stuff that you learn via any of those sources and apply it towards your everyday life, your relationship with your dog, and does this stuff work in the comfort of your own home?
Well, remember, everything will work as long as you stick to it. I mean, if you want to practice a whatever diet, you have to be consistent with it. You want to practice health, you have to be consistent with it. So, you know, as long as it makes sense to you, it will work. And exercise, discipline, affection, of course it works. This is what they do in their natural habitat.
All right. So, So in 60 seconds here, Laurie Mack has a dog that ate the couch.
Yeah.
The dog ate the couch, right?
But she won't get on the new one because when we got the new sofa, we started saying, no, this is the rule. No, you on the couch. She got it right away. We just have to remember, you know, that even if we want to snuggle with her.
So you're blaming yourself. You are blaming yourself for the fact that the dog ate the couch.
Yes.
And Caesar agrees.
That takes care of that. All right.
But she won't eat this one.
Yeah.
You claim the couch. See, in her eyes, you claim the couch.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And you know what? She doesn't cry. She doesn't get mad at me. Yeah. She's like, oh, okay, you got the couch. I got the floor.
Caesar, to the best of your knowledge, is anybody doing this with cats?
I really want to learn about cats because I get a lot of questions about it.
Yeah,
so
well.
I hope I'm going to put it up there in the universe. Though, so really, I want to learn about cats.
How about fish?
All right. Be the Pack Leader. That's the name of the new book. And, of course, on the National Geographic Channel. Man, are you a popular guy right now.
Yeah.
Caesar Milan, thank you for spending a little time with us here.
Appreciate you.
And there you go. Another JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day and another JC on the Line extravaganza here. Our podcast publishes every Monday through Friday morning, right about 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. If you miss anything, we have them all archived right here at jcontheline.com. And you can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook is The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.